and communing together in the joy of our Lord. John 3:16, very well-known verse. It tells us, for God so loved the world. This is the world that we want the joy to come to the world. But God the Father so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. And that's what we've been remembering. That's what we've been celebrating yesterday in particular, but over the last little while. God gave his only Son, that whoever, so there was a purpose, whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting or eternal life. And then Romans 12, verse 12, this is a Passion Translation. It tells us, let this hope, so we will have hope. We have hope in the Lord. We have hope in what he's done. But let this hope burst forth within you, releasing a continual joy. So the joy that we have comes from the hope that we have in Jesus. Don't give up in time of trouble, but commune with God at all times. That's the life we're living, a life of joy because of the hope and the communication. So just before we break bread together in the communion, and before we actually share in the elements, I'm going to ask the team to come back in just a few moments. But first, let's think of Christmas. Now, one of the key words that come to mind whenever you say Christmas is present. Anybody not get a present yesterday? Phew, that's good. So we all got something as a gift to us. But present is one of those really interesting words in the English language. And depending on what syllable you put the emphasis, it can change its meaning. Even said the same way, it can have a different meaning, depending on the context. And I just want to touch on a few presents this morning, seeing it's Christmas and we all have received presents. Let's think about some of the presents in the Bible. On Christmas Eve, Zechariah shared a little bit with us and really encouraged us to get into the scriptures, get into reading the word of God. And that was so good, Zechariah. Thanks for sharing that. And so this morning, just as we look at presents, I want to read one or two verses that tell us biblically what the word present should mean to us. So think of some of the presents in the English language. A present, that's the easy one. We just said that. Something is given to us. Our present. You are present here in the room. Someone with you. Now present in time. It's not the future. It's not the past. It's the present. We present ourselves. Spelt the same, slightly different way of saying it. We present ourselves. And then the last one we'll touch on is we represent or represent, reflecting Jesus as we live a life like him. God is with us. He's present. He's not absent. And this has been a theme in many ways. But Psalm 46, right back in Psalms, we're told, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. God is with us all times, even in those troubled times. He is an ever-present help. And then the story, the Christmas story that's been read a zillion times over the last week around the world, an angel from the Lord appeared to him and said, Joseph, descendant of David, don't hesitate to take Mary into your home as your wife, because the power of the Holy Spirit has conceived a child in her womb. She will give birth to a son, and you are to name him Savior, or Yeshua, which means Yahweh is salvation, restoration and deliverance. For he is destined to give his life to save his people from their sins. This happened to fulfill what the Lord had spoken through his prophet, Isaiah. Listen, a virgin will be pregnant. She will give birth to a son, and he will be known as Emmanuel, which means in Hebrew, God became one of us, or God is with us. God is present with us, and that is continual and forever. So that's the being together present. We're present with each other. We're present in the Lord. We also can see in Scripture, he's going to present us to God. 2 Corinthians 4:14, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you to himself. We'll be presented to the Father and Jesus. And Colossians 1 verse 22 tells us, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death. And that's one of the things we're really going to focus on now in the last 15 minutes or so of this morning. Through death, to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. So it's all about Jesus preparing us and making us able to be presented to the Father. We're pure, we're cleansed, we're forgiven, so we can come into his presence. And it's Jesus and his death that does that. We can be presented to God. We also need to present ourselves to God. Exodus 34, verse 2 tells us, God speaking to Moses and preparing him to go up the mountain. It's the second time, because the first time he had a little bit of a fizzy fit, and he threw the stones down and they broke because of what the people had been doing. And God said, come back, let's try that again. But then God said, be ready in the morning and then come up on Mount Sinai. Present yourself to me there on the top of the mountain. God wants us to present ourselves to him. And he wanted Moses to come into his presence and present himself before the Lord. 2 Timothy 2 verse 15 tells us, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved. A worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. Do your best to present yourselves. That's a great challenge to take into the new year. As it happens throughout this week, New Year is always a time when we start thinking, oh, let's change some habits. Let's do something different. Let's be focused on my life. Well, one way of doing that is to say, I'm going to do my best to present myself worthy to the Lord as one approved. Then we're encouraged to present requests to God. We bring, and our presenting becomes a present. We lay it before him. In Philippians 4:6, everyone, I'm sure, knows this, but do not be anxious about anything. So what's that leave for you to be anxious about? Not much. It's easy to read and say, I know, but be anxious for nothing. Do not be anxious for anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, bring your requests to God. Present them. We're presenting ourselves, but we also present our requests to God. And then we need to present God's word to others. And Colossians 1 verse 25 tells us, this is Paul speaking, I have become its, that's the church, he's talking about the church, I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness. So one of the things we're presenting is another present here. We bring it, we present the word of God to the church and to those around that need to hear the word of God. Then we're in the present time. Romans 8, verse 18 tells us, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that would be revealed in us. In the present time, there are sufferings, there are difficulties, there are trials and troubles. God never promises it to be easy. Chuck's told us many times, be prepared for persecution. But in those present times, let's look ahead to the glory that will come, that will be revealed in us. And that can be present as in tomorrow. Sorry, future, you know, as in tomorrow. Present today, the glory comes tomorrow. Or it could be way out in the future, and that's our final presence with the Lord. But let's not consider our present sufferings worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed. And in Romans 12, again, very well-known verse, we all know this one, Romans 12, 1 and 2. This is in the ESV version. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. So we need to present ourselves to the Lord as the sacrifice before him. God tells us elsewhere, I don't want the blood of bulls and goats. I don't want the Old Testament sacrifices anymore. I want you. I want your sacrifice, your heart, which is worship. And then finally, as we go into communion, and I'd ask the music team to come back for the song as we move into communion, please. But our lives represent Jesus or represent Jesus. And Colossians 3 verse 17 tells us, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. We do everything presenting Jesus. We do it in the name of the Lord Jesus. There is no other name. That is the name that we represent. That is the name that gives us the authority and the power. And in doing that and in giving thanks to God the Father, we bring glory to his name and glory to the Word of God. So there's plenty of presents around Christmas time. Hopefully, you had a few yesterday to open and share, and maybe hopefully you gave away more presents than you received. That's always a good challenge each year. Give away more than you're going to get. But let's remember, a present is something given to us. Jesus is the best ever gift we can receive. We are present. We're present together, and we're encouraged in the church to continue meeting together even more as we see the day coming. We're in the present time. God is working in the present, and we present ourselves and our prayers and our words to God as we represent him. So the reason we're having communion, lots of churches do have a communion time celebrating Jesus' sacrifice around Christmas. Often it's on Christmas Eve. We're doing it this morning. But one thing, if you were here when we did the special night with Mark Lowry on the video, his conference, concert. One thing he said that really struck me, and I thought, yeah, we should really do and share communion this morning. And he said, we were not told to celebrate Jesus' birth, but we should celebrate his death. And we all talk about it. I've said it. I've used the word already this morning a number of times about celebrating Christmas. We do celebrate. It was a momentous event. But God doesn't tell us to keep celebrating his birth. We have to celebrate his death, because it's in his death that we have salvation. It's in his death that we become righteous. It's in his death that we are become acceptable to the Lord. It's not only his death, it's his resurrection.